Today we want to talk about God speaking to us. You know, technology has certainly made our lives a lot noisier. You know, I almost look forward to it. The other day I had to run some errands and I forgot my phone. And I thought I was crippled, but it sure was nice riding in the car in silence. You know, I had to go about 20 miles and it was just dead quiet in the car. And I really kind of appreciated that. You know, it's that phone comes on as soon as I start my car up and starts playing from my Apple Music thing, and I really like it. And then there's audiobooks, you know. You listen to 10 minutes of a book. If you got a 10-minute window, you can listen to that, and it's never quiet. Some people put the television on first thing in the morning when they wake up and, you know, listen to Channel 13's Toxic Positivity is what I call it. It's nasty stuff, you know. But they'll have that TV on all day long. Sometimes I have music playing in my office. And, you know, it used to be if you were running around somewhere, you were in a store and you heard somebody talking to themselves, you'd think, well, they need to up their medication a little or something like that. But now it's a common thing because they've got these little dangly white things hanging out of their ears and they're having a telephone conversation while they're shopping for groceries. You know, and I remember my mom saying, you know, sometimes it's just so noisy here, I can't hear myself think. And all that noise does raise the level of anxiety to us, you know. But the question I want to ask you today is, what if God is trying to speak to you and he's being drowned out? What if he's got a message for you? Is all the noise around you drowning out what he has to say to you? Now, when I was a kid, I rode my horse at night quite a bit in the summertime. I've been an insomniac my whole life. And what I would do is at two in the morning, I'd go out and the horse seemed to like it. You know, he'd run up to the fence and whinny at me. He was raring to go. I'd throw a saddle on him and ride 4 or 5 miles and call it a night. But the horse seemed to love it. And in those days, it was absolutely quiet. It's not that way anymore because all the modern hog barns have ventilator fans and you can hear those fans blaring all the time. But back then, it was just absolutely stone quiet. And I really enjoyed that. The horse seemed to like it. We could ride for hours. But I remember the closeness with God that I felt there was really quite intense. And I think he spoke to me at times. Now, I didn't do what he told me to do. A lot of times I regret that. I made a lot of mistakes at an early age. But that does happen. Question for you is, do you get any quiet time where God can speak to you? Do you deliberately take the time? What do you do if you can't sleep? You know, do you go on a Netflix marathon? Or what do you do? I couldn't sleep last night because I had this pork I wanted to put into the roasters, you know, and get it going. And I had that scheduled for 3:30 this morning, so because I wanted it to be ready in time, I couldn't get back to sleep. So even though I had just written this, I put Netflix on. And I was watching a World War II movie. Well, I fell asleep and actually in my sleep had a conversation with Adolf Hitler. Because it was a World War II thing and he was asking me where Karl Barth was hiding. And he was doing it in English and I realized Hitler didn't speak any English. But, you know, it was a dream. But when is the last time you've listened for the word of the Lord? Another question is, do you want God to speak to you? Or are you afraid of what he might say? Today we're going to look at one of the Old Testament stories where God speaks to a young man named Samuel. I want to give you just a little background on Samuel. You know, I'm trying to turn you all into Bible nerds. I want to make Bible scholars out of everybody, and if you'll let me, I'll do that. But Samuel's background starts with a man named Elkanah. And Elkanah had two wives, as was common. Hannah and Peninnah were their names. And Peninnah had kids. She could shell them out. Hannah did not. Hannah couldn't have kids. So Peninnah mocked Hannah, gave her a hard time about that all the time. Now, in those days, it was before the temple was built in Jerusalem, so they had this tabernacle, this portable temple, set up in a town called Shiloh. And all Jewish people were required once a year to make a pilgrimage to that. And then they offered sacrifices and did lots of praying and things like that. Well, Hannah was there and she was praying fervently. She said to God, "Give me a son and I'll give him back to you. As a sign of his dedication, his hair shall never be cut." So those of you who are old hippies, take comfort in that. You know, spiritual people don't cut their hair. Okay, just let it get long. No, just kidding. But that was how that was interpreted. Now, Eli, who was the high priest, heard her praying very fervently. It was early in the morning, and Eli thought she was drunk because she was so into it. Well, she asked for children. She went home and got pregnant and gave birth to Samuel. And the name Samuel means asked of God. And when he was weaned, which was at about 3 years old, was the traditional time they weaned them in those days, she brought him to the tabernacle and left him there. And he became an assistant to the high priest Eli. Now, Eli was not a good person. He was kind of he took advantage of his position. And he had two sons who were in line for the priesthood. They were both narcissists. The scriptures tell us later that they were fat. They took more food than they were supposed to. They took more money than they were supposed to and all that sort of thing. So Eli and his sons had fallen out of favor with God. And that's where today's story begins. So here we go. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. Maybe they had too much noise, too. Maybe too much selfish indulgence. Or maybe they just didn't want to hear from the Lord. We don't know. It goes on, it says, one night Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly the Lord called out, "Samuel." That's kind of a loaded little paragraph there. The lamp that he's talking about is called the lamp of the presence, and they lit it as a symbol of God's presence in the tabernacle. That's why we have the little candle up here next to that big Bible, is because I want it to symbolize the same thing, the presence of God. And the ark and its contents were there. Now, this ark was a gold-plated chest about 6 feet long, and inside it was the original Ten Commandments that God had carved out of the rock on Mount Sinai. And also there was Aaron's staff, the staff that he performed all the miracles with, and there was a jar of manna in there, which we talked about last Sunday. So that was all there, and that they had to be guarded because it was gold-plated, and people like to steal gold. So there's always somebody around to watch that. But it was a very holy place, and it's in this place that young Samuel was sleeping, and the Lord called out. And that had to be quite a thing to be a part of. Thing is, he hasn't stopped calling. He calls out to you and me all the time, too. It's just, are we listening? "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." And again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Now, here you see that phrase, "here I am." In the original Hebrew language, it's hanini, and it means, "here I am, I'm reporting for duty." You know, Jacob did it, Moses, and now Samuel. He's ready to go. Samuel did not know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. And notice it says he didn't know the Lord yet, but he was about to get to know him really well. Eli said, "Tell him to just say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Again, Samuel is reporting for duty. And the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." Did you ever say anything like that in your prayers? "Speak, your servant is listening." To the Lord, he said that, "Speak, I'm listening." Well, if you do that, he will speak. Maybe not audibly, maybe won't need your ears to hear it. And it mostly comes in the form of nudges. But he'll say things like, "You need to do this. It's largely why I'm here, you know. At the time that I was considering coming here, it was at my brother's wedding, which was total chaos. And it was kind of an interesting time because I had two offers. One was here, and the other was Church of the Living Christ in Fremont. And I couldn't decide which one to go to. I tried using logic, location. I definitely preferred Muskegon for a location. And I asked God to tell me. Now, I was driving the 3 hours from Sioux Center to Alexander in my car, and I had a, listen, I put a cassette in. You all remember cassettes? Yeah, I put a cassette in. Happened to be a cassette of one of my favorite all-time albums, Sticky Fingers by the Rolling Stones. So I'm listening to that, driving down the highway, you know, and song comes on. It says this, the name of the song is "You Gotta Move." I thought, now, isn't that ironic that I'm hearing that? So I was thinking maybe I should just stay where I am. But the song says "You Gotta Move," and I don't know if that was a coincidence or not, but I moved, and that's how that happened. Well, the story goes on like this. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings." See, Eli didn't guide his sons, and they were in line for the high priesthood. It was an inherited thing in those days. And we find out later in the book of Samuel that Eli and his sons were obese. They were very heavy, and they had a lack of discipline. They couldn't control themselves in any way. They messed with prostitutes and all sorts of things like that. There was a definite lack of discipline in their lives, and there was a lack of listening for God's voice. So God was going to replace them as leaders. It says, Samuel stayed in bed until morning. Then he got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him, but Eli called out to him, "Samuel, my son." And here he says it again, "Here I am." There's a little boy, probably 5 years old by that time, willing to serve. He was afraid, but he was willing. And he would go on to be God's special messenger for his generation and beyond. So Eli asked, "What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me." So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. "It is the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." Pretty strong language there. May God strike you and kill you if you hide anything. So Samuel gave the very negative report, and Eli knew they had it coming. He resigned himself to it. And then, as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him. And everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and give messages to Samuel at the tabernacle. So Samuel gained respect. God continued to appear and give him messages because God was not done speaking. And guess what, folks? God is still speaking all the time. He's not quiet. He has things to say to both you and me. He wasn't done speaking to Samuel, and he's not done speaking to you either. The United Church of Christ has a slogan that I really like. It's this one. They say, never place a period where God places a comma. You know, God is still speaking. He's not done with you. So don't shut him out. He'll mostly speak to you through nudges, but he is going to speak to you. Now, it seems that God speaks primarily through the Bible. In order for him to do that, you have to read it. You have to become a Bible scholar, which I'm trying to get everybody to do. You have to listen for his voice in Scripture. And that works. You'll hear it if you ask. And sometimes he speaks through other people. Sometimes even through preachers. Sometimes through your spouse. Sometimes even through your kids. And other people. And even unbelievers he can speak through. He speaks through nature. Take a walk on the beach of Lake Michigan, and there's no denying God's presence there. You can sense it. Or a walk in the woods. One of the best parts of Muskegon is the state park just down the road. You can get on those trails, and we go on those trails every once in a while, and you can hear God speaking, and when you're done, you can pull all the ticks off of yourself. But it's there. He does speak to us. He speaks to us in cornfields and open prairie. He can speak through music and art. I've got a buddy who's a proctor at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. And he said to me the other day, he goes, if I wasn't a Christian, I think art would be my religion because God speaks so loudly through it. And I'm hoping to get there sometime and have him give me his official tour. Sometimes God can speak through hymns. And even through contemporary Christian music, even through secular music, like I said earlier, God can even speak through the Stones. And it's hard to imagine that Mick Jagger has the voice of God, but it is possible that he can speak to you, that God will speak to you through him. Now, do you want him to speak to you? If so, you have to commit to radical listening. Maybe when you can't sleep, get up and listen in the quiet of the night. Or maybe just look at your schedule and carve a space in there where you can listen to him speak. A space where you don't turn on the TV or pick up a book. Just invite him to talk to you. Like Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You'll be surprised. Now, you all know that there's lots of nuts who've claimed that God has told them to do some pretty bizarre things. How do you tell if the message is from God? And that's pretty easy, actually. If the message is not contrary to the commandments of Jesus, it's probably from God. If a commandment is not contrary to the idea of loving God and loving others as yourself, it's probably God speaking to you. If the message is to bless someone, chances are really strong that it's from God. So what happens if you intentionally listen for the voice of God, well, one thing is you'll make better decisions and you'll have fewer regrets. Your life won't be wasted. As Jesus said, you'll have a rich and satisfying life. This is one of his statements, and the thief here is, of course, Satan. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. See, he's waiting to talk to you. So you need to commit to radical listening. Be still and listen and see what happens. I guarantee it's going to blow you away. It's what's kept me going for all these years and still does. Sometimes, you know, I'm so busy being a pastor, I don't have time to listen to God. And that's when I have to put the brakes on and listen again. And it's always turned out good. So be still and listen and see what happens. Let's believe this good news and live in peace.